It's All Things Considered on 91.9 FM WUOT. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. Mary Beth West and Kelly Fletcher are longtime friends and both work in public relations. They've also been sexually harassed. Since last fall, they've been working to educate companies and people about sexual misconduct, how to react to it, and its effects on victims. I spoke with Mary Beth and Kelly this week.
Well, I've always looked up to Mary Beth. We worked together before I started my own company, and she was an inspiration to me in that regard. And then as this whole sexual harassment conversation has heightened over the past few months, we just kind of casually in conversation realized how many times it has happened to us. And that sort of has developed into, I don't know, a secondary mission for us to speak about it and maybe help younger women who are starting out in their careers or even younger college age and adolescent age to help empower them to have a voice and not be silent like we were for so many years.
Mary Beth, you've written that you were sexually harassed when you worked in advertising. This was early in your career. Tell me what happened.
Well, there were several instances. I guess the one that came to mind immediately and on which I wrote the column recently in the Greater Knoxville Business Journal and the New Sentinel had to do with a assignment that I was given with a new client that was out of market. I was supposed to travel to Denver to meet this client who was doing a national speaking engagement there. And my role was to coordinate national press coverage for him while he was at this event. I arrive in Denver and meet the client there at the hotel where the conference is taking place. And I was attempting to check into my room. And his assistant, I thought, had handled all of the travel arrangements. And I got there to find out that only one room had been booked for the both of us. And so I ended up having to really confront him about this because it became clear once the conversation started to unfold that it had been very intentional, that really his assistant hadn't been involved at all, as had been told to me earlier. And so the whole trip then sort of kept going downhill with him continuing to proposition me in a variety of ways. And I was about 22 years old, I suppose, and just not in any way prepared for how to deal with that type of situation. And so, yeah, it was a very big wake-up call for me on being exercising much more due diligence on my own behalf and starting to try to listen to that voice, I guess, that voice on my shoulder about if there's something that feels wrong about how someone is communicating with you. And I had had some instances of having some concerns earlier, which I had voiced to my employer, and they kind of brushed off as, oh, he's harmless, you'll be fine, no worries here. And just no action was ever taken in that regard. So that was my first, I guess, big experience of that. And there were others that followed, but that's certainly one that stays out in my memory.
Kelly, your story might come from a very different kind of workplace because you've had some experience in beauty pageants and contests, including a 1989 Miss North Carolina. I think you made an appearance at Miss America as well. What was the environment like for you and your fellow contestants in that unique setting?
I can't speak for any of the other contestants, but I can tell you the story of what happened to me when I was 21, and some of your listeners may know about the recent Miss America scandal with the CEO and other top executives in the Miss America organization who had been sexually harassing former Miss Americas and talking about them over email and very negative, just horrific ways.
Yeah, generally derogatory language.
I mean, over the top derogatory.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I was 21 and I was competing in Miss North Carolina for scholarship money, that's how I paid my way through school as a vocal performance major at that time, there was a gentleman on our local committee that I had interaction with, he and his wife. They ran the local pageant that led up to Miss North Carolina, and he exposed himself to me. I ignored it. I acted like I didn't see it. He left things in the restroom that I used at their home, toys, let's just say that, and then spent the night there a few times in preparation for Miss North Carolina, and woke up one morning and turned on the television, and there was a pornographic video playing that had been set up. And I didn't know what to do, so I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything for a very long time. After about a year, I told his wife first, and that ended up in a divorce for them. And then a few years later, when I found out that he was involved with another local pageant in Wilmington, North Carolina, I wrote a letter to the executive director of the Miss North Carolina organization. I wrote a letter to the executive director of Miss America outlining exactly what had happened and my concern for other girls who may be in my position, and that I thought that he should be removed from any involvement within the organization on a local, state, or national level. And guess what happened?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. No response, no acknowledgement that a letter or complaint had ever been received. And so for me, this past few months has been a validation of there is a change, a brew, and that we are being heard for the first time. And it's taken so long for this to happen.
Mary Beth, I want to come back to you for a similar response to what Kelly was just talking about, where you feel like we are now compared to when you were going through this, or you know, even say as recently as 5 or 10 years ago, where it feels like the tone was very different when this subject came up.
Right. You know, back when this happened for me early in my career, and this was in the early 1990s, the trend had begun for women to file lawsuits. I mean, it was the litigation machine was sort of cranking up, and there was that element of, oh, you don't want to be known as a litigious employee. I mean, you don't mention anything because you don't want to have that scarlet letter on your resume as being a litigious individual. So that was sort of the context of my early career. I hunkered down and just didn't want to make waves. And I think that that was part of the corporate culture, or the the business culture at large, that there was kind of an unspoken rule not to say anything because of that very reason. You didn't want that hanging over you. It was going to be on you, not on the person who had instigated something like that. So I think the biggest change we're seeing now is that that is going out the window. It's not just a matter of a company can be sued if there's a obvious pattern or a pattern of behaviors and of inaction that's taken, but also that there's now just this empowerment for women to really be able to speak to it and to be able to voice concerns in a way that is so altogether different from what we've ever seen before. And I think that's really what this sea change is now that we're seeing. What we're dealing with now, the world that we're in right now, is so different than it even was 6 months ago before the Weinstein issue came to the fore, which was, to me, and Kelly, I don't know about you, but it seems like that was really the harbinger of the big change that has come.
Well, yes, because if you think back even to the Anita Hill situation and what happened to her.
I was about to say, when Mary Beth, you talk about the early 90s, I thought
of
Anita
course,
Hill, that was 1991, and
she
that was a
shunned.
Very different tone, yeah.
Very different tone. I think another thing that people don't realize is that when any type of sexual harassment occurs, there are real physical and emotional impacts that come with being the one who has been harassed or abused in any way. I mean, everything from blaming yourself or having guilty feelings to not being able to sleep to having anxiety to even self-harm. And these things have all been swept under the rug whenever there are real physical and emotional well-being consequences.
Well, and one argument that's still made, we saw this happen recently when there were allegations made against the comedian Aziz Ansari, who apparently pressed forward after a woman that he was on a date with made it clear she didn't want to engage in sex with him or anything like that, and he kept pushing. One of the concerns that was raised as part of this that I've seen on social media is, oh, what is she doing? She's going to ruin his career. It was more about the effect that it would have on him than it would have on her. And I hear that's sort of what you're echoing here, is that we're not, even that's still not being injected quite enough into the conversation. Do I have that right?
I think so. And to that end, an older lady, I'm 50, so I think she was in her 70s, and we were talking about the Miss America situation, and she said, oh, I guess it's not okay to flirt anymore. And I was like, oh, this is not flirting. This is a whole different level of degradation. And I think there's a fine line between not setting out to ruin somebody's career, but to have your voice heard. I think he handled it probably the best that I've seen anybody handle the crisis because he came out and apologized and acknowledged that I didn't mean to come across that way. Now, whether he did or not, we'll never know. But at least he acknowledged that he did have a role in a negative behavior, which is something that we have not seen happen that often.
Well, there is this issue, too, of this guilty and until proven innocent element that does trouble me a lot. I don't like this idea of any person, any man, anyone who is called out for something but not having any due process to be able to defend against that if they are innocent of it. I mean, there are cases where that can happen too. So it is a very troubling type of scenario for any organization to deal with. And as an employer, and of course, you know, Kelly's been an employer for a lot of years too, you know, if someone comes to you with just one side of the story, as the employer, you want to be able to hear both sides of it. It's just a basic matter of fairness. So, you know, and I don't mean to speak out of both sides of my mouth, but I'm just, I think that as a society, this is an element of it that we have to take into careful consideration and be sure there's not just a wholesale, you know, backlash effect where people are charged wrongfully or lose their career in a way that it is certainly not appropriate if they were innocent of what they're being charged with. So I'm kind of sensitive to that aspect of it, too, even with experiences that I've had that have been troubling, too. It's just it's something that as a society, we have to understand the complexities of it.
I totally agree. I mean, not all women are innocent. I mean, they may have ulterior motives that we don't know about. I think that this really harkens back to the fact that we have to raise our children to know what is appropriate behavior and what isn't. And we all know what's out there in all types of media. And boys in particular need to have appropriate behavior modeled and need to be talked to about what is appropriate to say and what's not from a very early age so that we can start to address this problem at the core, you know, as we raise our sons and daughters.
This reminds me of a point that we made on our public affairs program Dialogue when we talked about this subject a little earlier this year, that policy can be changed with the stroke of a pen, but changing behavioral patterns in people's minds is a much tougher road to hoe, essentially. That sounds like what you're talking about.
Much longer process.
Well,
yes.
Culture. It's a culture. Any kind of culture change, that's not something that happens overnight. It doesn't happen within a large-scale societal context. It doesn't happen within an organizational context at the drop of a hat. So it has to be undertaken purposefully. And hopefully what we're seeing now is a purposeful start to a conversation and just mutual understanding about that.
You're both public relations professionals. You know that in many cases we see a single topic get intensive coverage, and it might be for a day or a week, but sometimes we see this play out over months as part of the longer news cycle. But almost inevitably, it will eventually be carried over to the side, transient topics that 6 months from now we'll forget they even happened. Do you feel like, and we can begin with you, Mary Beth, do you feel like this new tone, this new discussion, this finding the new path forward is one of these transient news cycle products, or is this the beginning of a new normal that might be generational?
I think it could be generational, and I would remind the listeners that, too, you know, this really didn't start with the Weinstein issue. It was, I mean, if you really want to go back even further, of course, I mean, you can go back quite a way, but looking at the Roger Ailes, Gretchen Carlson issue, where at Fox News, she had charged those issues and I believe received a $20 million settlement. And
$50 million, but before that, she was removed from the morning show and we never knew where she went. She went to the afternoons.
Yes. And it's just so interesting how that came full circle with her being announced as CEO of the Miss America organization, or the chairwoman, should say.
Chairperson.
I think that this issue will not be riding off into the sunset as long as there are women who are stepping forward. I think that it will remain visible and will remain relevant and something that organizations across the board have to take seriously.
I completely agree. I also think there's an appetite for education, just as evidenced in Mary Beth and I were just asked to speak to PRSSA, Public Relations Student Society of America, and we're framing that seminar, if you will, around sexual harassment in the workplace and what to look for, and even at the college level. I mean, I have a colleague who was harassed by a professor in college. Also, the Miss North Carolina organization, as a result of me speaking out, is working on developing a sexual harassment policy, and Mary Beth and I are actually doing a webinar with about 75 leaders in that organization next week to talk about what sexual harassment is, how to decrease your risk of being exposed and having a reputation management problem as a result of it, and then some tips for how to empower whoever it is in your organization that you need to empower to come forward and take action when something happens. So I think that we're seeing people reach out and say, we want to know more. We want to know how to handle this. We want to know how to minimize our risk and empower the women that we need to empower.
Kelly Fletcher and Mary Beth West, longtime friends, also public relations professionals here in East Tennessee. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
You're
so
welcome.
Much.